In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Last week's gospel invited us to look at ourselves as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You remember that? Yes. Salt and light influence whatever it touches. And so since Jesus declared we are salt and light, we then too have the ability to influence everyone we come in contact with. This week's gospel continues Jesus' teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. In this section, Jesus employs a method of stating the law of old and then giving his interpretation of that law. Throughout this passage, we will read, "You have heard it was said," and then Jesus would add, "But I say to you." So what does this do for his audience? I believe it goes deeper than what they normally heard about the law. It went to looking behind the action at the thoughts and the feelings which propel the actions of people. One of the actions he came up with was murder. What is behind the action of murder? And he used anger to describe those actions and feelings behind murder. Anger drove someone to kill another because their anger blocked their reason and analytical thought. Jesus implores them not to insult a brother or sister and not to call them "you fool," for one was then liable to the fire of hell. I don't know about you, but I have had sure many disagreements with my brothers and sisters, with other family members, with my dear husband, with friends, with church members. Fancy that one. Doctor's offices, and don't tell me you haven't argued with the doctor's offices. With the insurance companies, oh boy. And in the store, when I lived in Brooklyn, I could guarantee you, anybody remembers the old Alexander stores in Brooklyn? Guaranteed that every day there was going to be an argument in Alexander's. You could not get away with it. Every day there was an argument. We disagreed on a wide range of issues. And many times, I would say "you fool" was mild compared to some choice words that I would come up with and which I regretted. Notice I've always used the word past tense in that little illustration. Although there are some times that the devil, oh, he's a busy person. Ever got cut off? Anger, it can take away our rationale because we are that angry. Anger is described as a strong feeling of displeasure and belligerence aroused by a wrong. Proverbs 29:22 tells us, "One given to anger stirs up strife, and the hot head causes much transgression." Jesus is so adamant in his teaching that anger hurts the soul. He tells the crowd, "So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First to be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come again and offer your gift." Why is Jesus so insistent on this method? Offering gifts at the temple was a solemn ritual. If you go back from the time of Genesis, go through all the Exodus, oh, forget Leviticus, they're telling you exactly what offering you're to bring. So you went and you offered your gift for atonement of sins. But Jesus wants more here. It is not enough to bring an animal to atone for a person's sin. The person themselves need to atone for the sin. The onus is on that person. Jesus sees the solemn ritual of reconciliation as top priority. Why? Because the disagreement proved to be a barrier between them and God. From what Jesus is implying, our relationship with God is affected due to our animosity we have with someone else. When Abraham Lincoln had to write a letter to someone who had irritated him, he would often write two letters. The first letter was deliberately insulting. And then, having forgotten those feelings out of his system, he would tear it up and write a second letter. This one, tactful and discreet. Ben Franklin once said, "Anger is never without reason, but seldom a good one." Jesus is telling us he does not care who started it first. You ever went to your mother and said, "She started it first"? He says, "I don't care who started it first or who feels they're right or wrong. Because we know better. Because we are his followers. Because we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are required to make the first move towards forgiveness. We are to initiate the reconciliation even when we feel we know we have been wronged." That's when you go, "I am so sorry." Boys and girls, walk away. My friend David walked away. Walk away. It's not worth it. We are to initiate the reconciliation. And I know I hear your thoughts, Mother Michelle. You've got to be kidding. Jesus is asking a lot. Yes, he is. So, what are some ways in which we can reconcile with someone who has upset us or who has hurt us? Think of our ways today. We can follow Abraham Lincoln's example of a letter. Today we would write an email, a text, although I think a text is just too small. "I'm sorry" is not going to cut it. We need a little bit more than that. We can speak to the person directly, one-on-one, calmly, truthfully, being specific. They said, and I know that you were all of those third persons that, you know, you have to speak in for. "I saw you did this. And it hurt." Be honest with your feelings. We can pray to God about the situation. We can request an arbitrator. Where are my lawyers? Right, Rebecca? To sit down with both parties to get to the bottom of it. What is it that we're doing here every single Sunday before we come to this altar? We exchange the peace. When we say, "The peace of the Lord be always with you," you're forgiving that person. You're wishing that person peace, the peace of God. Can you think of some others that we can add? How can we settle? What can we do to bring some parties, someone together who has hurt you? Nobody brave enough this morning. John, you always have a... Yes.
So we have to speak to them.
Yes.
Even if you cuss them out first.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm really guilty of that one.
You too.
Very guilty of that one. It's just easier to ignore them all together. Put them out, said move on. But we do have to settle it. We do have to.
Be the bigger person and stand up.
Huh?
Be the bigger person. person and approach and,
them. Yeah, that's what Jesus is asking us to do.
Hmm? So when you're the bigger person and you step up and you make all the effort and that person is still not receiving you, what do you do? Like when you go with your heart and you bring God with you and you try to make it right with that person and it's just not working, then what do you do?
Because that person isn't ready to receive it. But you have done what God has asked of you. Right? And so you leave it alone. They will come around. They will come around. But you have done what God has asked of you. Think of the South Carolina church. Those 9 people forgave, I think his name was Dylan Roof, almost immediately. I needed to get counseling for just for that. Because I couldn't imagine it. I could not imagine it. They forgave him immediately. So they did what God had asked of them. Did he receive it? Probably not. But he's got a mighty lesson to learn right now. Yeah. Anyone else? Jesus is building the kingdom of God. If the people in his kingdom are at odds with each other all the time, guess what? They have no time to focus on what is important, their relationship with God. As long as there is eternal sin, internal sin, outward acts of worship will appear fake and worthless. In looking for a king for Israel, God chose Samuel to go to Jesse and his sons. As he looked at the first son, Samuel is convinced God will indeed like this one. But God warns him, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." We cannot dismiss what we're feeling inside. When Narissa, when you were talking to that person, or if whoever is talking to the person that has done you wrong, there's a lot stirring up inside of them, but they're not going to give away what they're feeling. You know, and they have, each of us has to come to terms. When you get anxious or worried over something, don't ignore what you're feeling in here. It's there for a reason. You know, name it. What is it that you're feeling? I'm anxious because of a doctor's appointment. What might he say? What might he do? I have an exam to do in school. Oh, I might fail the exam. Or I might get a bad grade. Or I could get an A and then they put me in this whole other different group. You know, so deal with the anxiety that is inside. In our Wednesday Bible study, we are nearing the end of Genesis. Yay! Joseph had been reunited with his father and his brothers. When their father Jacob dies, the brothers think Joseph will now seek vengeance against them. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in place of God? Even though you intended to do me harm, God intended it for good." From these two stories, we discover something about the attributes of God. God looks inward. He looks to see the deepness of our soul. It is very easy for us to become complacent in our worship. We virtually do the same thing every Sunday. We know the words so well, it is so easy for us to drift off somewhere in the midst of our prayer and praise to God. A relationship with God is a two-way street. He believes in us and loves us. What does he expect in return? For us to believe in him and to love him. 1 John 4:7 tells us, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Honestly, I do not believe what Jesus is asking of us today is impossible. God loves us. Jesus loves us. You and me. But if we are distracted by anger, due to a disagreement with our brother or sister. And of course, you know, he's not just talking, the brother or sister's used here as male and female. It's not just your brother, your brother that is, you know, born in your same house. It's your friends, it's your neighbors, your teachers, your bosses, whoever it is. So if we are in disagreement with our brother or sister, we cannot fully give our time and our whole selves to worship. We are merely going through the motions. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate my brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must also love their brothers and sisters also. Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into friend." Our role as Christians is always to point someone to God and to Jesus. They will, if they see the positive effect a relationship with God is having on us. If they see the peace which surpasses understanding. If they see the raw love we have for each other. Reconciling with our brother and our sister is about love. Opportunities arise daily for contact with someone who has hurt us. As difficult as it is, reconciliation is necessary to put to bed once and for all the stuff, the barriers we have erected between ourselves and the person or persons. Our internal attitude matters more to God than our external offering. As we approach the Lenten season this year, might this be an area we need to work on? Narissa just gave a very good example. This is a process. It's going to take time. It is not something that you go, yes, you would love it, where you go and you tell someone, "I'm sorry, this is how you made me feel," and, you know, it's kumbaya after that. It doesn't always go that way. You know, because the other person is going to come up with a whole other list of things that you did to them too. Right? So it is a process. And I really think it's something that maybe that we should put on our Lenten calendar. You know, as we sit in this time of reflection and self-denial, how can we approach those person or persons who really get us so angry? Thank the good Lord it's never led to murder, please. I beg of you, walk away. I think we should start there. You know, and you know what helps? Bringing it here to this altar. Everything that you see in here has a purpose. This is our worship. This is when we come and we receive the body and blood of Christ. This is where we lay our burdens at his feet. And it is only after we have laid that burden that we can then come and offer our gift to God. Amen.